live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you on this December 17th, 2019. And oh my, what is that big round yellow thing in the sky? Yes, we rarely get to see the sun around this time of the year, right? But, you know, looking at the Lansing, Michigan forecast, I mean, we're going to be seeing the sun well throughout the week and even into next week. How crazy is that? And I saw that temperatures will actually be hitting like 45 degrees.
Oh. Yeah,
I know, right? 45 degrees on Monday, 40 degrees on Tuesday, and a lot of sunshine. That's beautiful. Gotta love that. Now, I know there are some diehard Christmas fans out there like myself that are probably saying to yourself, you know, we could use a little of the white stuff around this time of the year. It gets you in the holiday spirit. But I tell you what, anytime I'm seeing sunshine and temperatures nipping at 50 degrees, I'm not complaining. I don't care what time of the year it is. All right. So happy Tuesday to you all. We got a lot to get to on today's current sports. We will be bringing you a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say during his media availability yesterday inside of the Breslin Center. Because while we were on the airwaves yesterday, around 1:30 p.m., Tom Izzo was addressing the media to talk about what happened in the win on Saturday afternoon downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena against Greg Campy and his Oakland Golden Grizzlies. That was a pretty easy dub. And now Michigan State, I believe now the second game of Big Ten play, taking on Northwestern tonight on the road. So Tom Izzo, he also previewed his squad going into that matchup, all right? So you'll hear a bit of what Izzo had to say. Stick around for that as the Tom Izzo press conference comes your way. Also, as promised on Monday's Current Sports, I do want to take a broader look at the National Football League. We talked a lot about the Detroit Lions and the demise of that team and how things have gone horribly wrong in the Matt Patricia era. So now I want to expand things. I want to talk about some of the top storylines that are happening around the league right now, including getting a list of, because Connor Mathis joins us again this week here on WKAR's Current Sports. You'll get our power rankings. You know, I'm not going to go throughout the entire league. I'll probably stop at like 10 for me. So you'll get our thoughts on who are the top NFL teams right now as we are inching closer and closer and closer, excuse me, to the NFL playoffs, which is crazy to think about. So we'll get to that. And also, we are on the eve of signing day, and I want to talk about what to expect from Michigan State football. All right? Will this be some kind of world-beating recruiting class for Mark D'Antonio? No. This is a typical Mark D'Antonio recruiting class. Does that excite you? Are you kind of ho-hum about it? We'll address that, and I'll give you guys a bit of a preview as to what expect from D'Antonio and the work of his coaching staff, all right? So, we have that all in store for you guys. If you would like to be a part of the hour and would like to share your thoughts on anything that is on your sports noggin, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. You can weigh in there below the live stream. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Let's start with Michigan State men's basketball traveling to Northwestern tonight as the number 15 Spartans travel to Welsh Ryan Arena to take on Northwestern. The Spartans will try to become the first Big Ten team to win a conference road game. Isn't that crazy? I mean, nobody has won a conference road game. Are you kidding me? That's pretty insane. After an astonishing and telling 0-13 starts for road teams within the conference. Tip time set for 8 p.m. tonight, and you can see that action on the Big Ten Network. All right, news coming out of the camp of Michigan State hockey as Michigan State senior goaltender John Letheman. He has been named the Big Ten First Star of the Week. The conference office announced that today. It's the second time this season that the senior goaltender has earned the top weekly conference honor. Letheman, he helped lead the Spartans to a sweep of Wisconsin last week at Munn. He posted his third shutout of the season in Friday's 3-0 win, turning away 41 shots, including 15 in the third period against Arizona State. The following night, the native of Northville made 33 stops as the Spartans rallied from a 3-1 third period deficit for a 5-4 overtime win. Now, on the year, Letheman, he ranks third in the country, I should say, in save percentage at 9-4-1. Pretty amazing. So, again, Michigan State senior goaltender John Letheman being named Big Ten First Star of the Week. All right, to Michigan football, as senior quarterback Shea Patterson was voted the Bo Schembechler Most Valuable Player by his fellow teammates. Patterson, he led the Big Ten in total offense and passing in league play, totaling 2,828 yards on 197 of 344 passing attempts with 22 touchdowns through the air, another 5 on the ground, 27 total. So Patterson became the only quarterback in Michigan history with 3 straight 300-yard games and the only QB with consecutive weeks with 4-plus touchdown passes. He is the first winner at his position since Denard Robinson was a back-to-back winner in 2010-2011. That's pretty, you know, when you read those numbers, that's pretty shocking. I didn't realize how good of a year Shea Patterson indeed did have, at least stats-wise. That's pretty impressive stuff. So Shea Patterson named the Bo Schembechler Most Valuable Player by his fellow teammates. All right, and the Detroit Pistons. That was embarrassing last night, wasn't it? As the Pistons had difficulty containing one of the NBA's weaker teams in the Washington Wizards, losing 133-119 at home inside of Little Caesars Arena. It is the most points the Pistons have allowed this season, and actually the most points they've allowed since 1995. 133, my goodness. Now, this was a tough one to lose for a Pistons team that had won 5 of its past 7 and was coming off an impressive victory at Houston, a game in which Andre Drummond missed and Blake Griffin was limited. So, Dre did not play and Blake did not play. Drummond is dealing with an eye infection and Blake Griffin is dealing with knee soreness. All right, and the Detroit Red Wings, they look to rebound tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Columbus won its first meeting with Detroit this season on November 21st, scoring 3 third period goals in a 5-4 home victory. The teams will play once more in Columbus on February 7th. Puck drop for tonight is at 7 p.m., and that one can be seen on Fox Sports Detroit. We also touched on this layer of Detroit Lions chatter during Monday's Current Sports and the job security of Matt Patricia. Well, if the head coach of the Detroit Lions in Patricia has been told by team ownership that he'll be back for the 2020 season, he isn't sharing that information. This is what Patricia had to say yesterday. Quote, "You know what? I have conversations with owner Martha Ford all the time. I like to keep all of that stuff private as I think it's important to do. When I was in other places and worked at other places, part of the thing that just makes me me is that I got to go into work every single day trying to earn my job that day. I would go in, make sure that my key card worked, and I was in the building, and I was okay. It's mostly the reason why I don't leave the building, because they are going to have to throw me out," end quote. So Patricia keeping a sense of humor in light of this season being a really down one during his tenure with the Detroit Lions. Any problem with his comments, Connor? I mean, at some point, if you're the head coach of the Detroit Lions, you got to laugh, because if you don't, you will cry, right?
No problem, but judging by his comments, he's going to have to camp out in Ford Field from, January till about August.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they're firing him, though, man. You heard my thoughts. I think Bob Quinn, that's his homie. That is his homie right now, and it is going to take a lot to fire Matt Patricia. Yeah, they may have to throw out Patricia. Martha Firestone Ford, if she has any inkling that she does want to indeed fire Matt Patricia, she is going to have to hire her security team, because she's 90-plus years old, to drag out Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, because Quinn is not going to be the guy to fire Matt Patricia, because that will be a big blow to his reputation with the Lions as well. So, but there you have that. Matt Patricia having some fun, cracking a joke or two during yesterday's media availability for him. This is a wild story. Three suspended football players from Warren De La Salle sued their high school yesterday, claiming that they were unfairly kicked out of school amid a hazing scandal and blackmailed by school officials into implicating 10 other students if they wanted to be reinstated. The accused students, who all are minorities, refused to, quote, turn over names, the lawsuit claims, and had been out of school for 46 days, with two of them in jeopardy of not graduating. Moreover, the lawsuit accuses DLS officials of engaging in racial discrimination, claiming 10 white football players are under investigation in hazing scandal but are still in school. The lawsuit was first reported by Fox 2 News in Detroit, was filed on behalf of three minority football players who were suspended in November for allegedly holding a younger player face down in the locker room floor while one of them sexually taunted and prodded him. So, just a wild, unfortunate story there. We'll be keeping a close eye on how that one develops for sure. And last night, Drew Brees, he broke the NFL record for career touchdown passes by an NFL player by throwing his third scoring strike of the night and 540th overall in a 34-7 win over the Indianapolis Colts. Look, I knew, just like many of you knew, that the Saints were going to win that game last night, but I thought the Colts would put up a bigger fight. The Saints were favored by 9 points last night, but 34-7, my goodness. So Brees eclipsed the mark previously held by former Colts and Denver Broncos QB Peyton Manning, who retired after 2015 with 539 passing touchdowns. The 19-year veteran, he also set the NFL single-game completion percentage record, a minimum of 20 attempts, going 29 of 30. And that included 307 yards and 4 touchdowns. An amazing night by Drew Brees, and a fitting night. If you're going to break the record, that's the kind of performance you want to do it in. So this is what Brees said in the post-game news conference. Quote, it was special. Everything about the night, I don't know how they pick them, right? Monday Night Football. Yeah, to do it on the Monday Night Football stage. Pretty amazing. I don't know if you saw the video from Reggie Bush, Connor, last night, but Reggie Bush was out there on the field, a part of the, I don't know if he was a part of the broadcast crew or was just there attending the game. He wanted to be there for Drew Brees. I have no idea. But on his social media page, he was just out there on the field, pregame. There was no other player on the field except one man. And you already know who that man was. It was Drew Brees going through his reads, kind of like imagining players on the football field. And Reggie was just kind of like, look, man, he's the only one out here. This is what separates Drew Brees from everybody else. This is what separates excellent from great, from good, from bad. It's pretty amazing when you look at what he did and has done throughout his entire NFL career. Any thoughts? Did you watch that game last night at all? I tuned in.
I didn't catch it, but I saw the highlights this morning.
Pretty amazing, man. Drew Brees is one of the best to ever do it. So congratulations to him. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hits headliners. Again, phone lines are open 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Would love to hear from you guys. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Where many of you are already tuning in and watching the show right there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Isn't that a beautiful tradition? Tom Izzo does this every year around this time of the year. It's my favorite time of the year, just like I'm sure many of you out there. It is Christmas time. As we inch closer and closer to the Christmas holiday, Tom Izzo, you know, a few days before, you know, the week of Christmas, he holds his Tom Izzo radio show, of course, and I'm not sure if many of you guys know this, but Tom Izzo, in addition to being one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time, he has another talent, that being music. He can play the accordion. Yeah, he jokes and says that, I forget what instrument it was when he was growing up, but his parents made him learn an instrument. And I forget it was an instrument that his mom suggested, and he said, no, I don't want to learn that instrument. I want to play the accordion. So he picked the accordion, and he's not bad. Not bad at it. So, you know, last night at, I believe it was Reno's East, that's where Tom holds his weekly radio show. Tom Izzo brought out the accordion. He had his glasses on so he could read the musical notes of Jingle All the Way for an accordion. And his entire team, all of the players, they came out there and sung. I believe they did like three songs. You heard Jingle All the Way, but they did about three songs as Izzo played the accordion. So, and Izzo, he called some players out. You know, I was listening to that thing last night, and he made Rocket Watts do, because they did that version, and then they did a second version because Izzo said that he messed up one of the parts, the perfectionist that he is. So he says, all right, we're going to redo that because I messed up. And then he calls out Rocket Watts and his son, Steven Izzo, and says that Steven, you're embarrassing your mother, and Rocket, you're embarrassing your grandmother because they can't sing. So he then proceeds to put the mic right in front of their faces. So on the second version, I didn't play that version because your ears probably would have bled, but Steven and Rocket, they do some solos on that very song. So but it's a great holiday tradition. If you haven't seen video of it, just check out the Michigan State basketball Twitter profile and Instagram profile, and you can check out some of the behind the scenes visuals of Tom Izzo and his team singing holiday songs to those who attended the Tom Izzo radio show last night. So awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. I look forward to seeing that every single year. So, all right, what I want to do right now is actually play a bit of what Izzo had to say during his weekly, well, yeah, it's weekly press conference. He does his press conference every Monday, usually around noon, but yesterday it was pushed to about 1:30. So, Michigan State basketball coming off a win, a blowout victory, an easy-peasy victory over the Oakland Golden Grizzlies on Saturday. Now prepare to take on Northwestern on the road. And as Connor Mathis stated in the headliners, as he wrote in my headliners for today, no Big Ten team has won on the road yet. So that's just weird. It's going to happen, just a matter of when. It's crazy that it hasn't happened so far. And right now, you know, you look at Big Ten road teams, 0-13 to start. That is pretty mind-boggling. So can Michigan State become the first Big Ten team to win a conference road game tonight when they take on Northwestern at 8 p.m.? We will have to wait and see. But here is Izzo and talking about his team and what he liked in the win against Oakland and what his team must improve on moving forward, especially if they want to get a dub tonight.
Kind of strange when you come off finals that I always get a kick out of how none of us appreciate finals once we're done. We don't really think back to how difficult it is, but you know, going back to our game against Oakland, coming off those finals, I thought we were very good defensively. I thought rebounded the ball really well. We didn't shoot it real well. Another big concern is the turnovers. I don't know why. I mean, you know, we've done a better job. We're at a little over 12. We were down in the 10s and 11s. But we've made some casual. And unfortunately, you know, some of it, I mean, Cash has made some passes that are unlike him. So I think that would take care of some of it. But in Northwestern, if you just look at what's gone on in the Big Ten, we always talk about how hard it is to win on the road. And there used to be a couple of mainstay programs, and then those changed over the years. And one of them recently was Nebraska, or was Rutgers. And, you know, I bet you when they were here, you thought they were an okay team, not a great team. I mean, now they look like a very good team, physical, hard to play against. And Nebraska, you know, Fred's playing without his best player, and they go to Indiana and play 40 hours later because KP, I think, is doing the scheduling or something. A little rip on KP, but 40 hours later and beats a good Purdue team. You look at Minnesota, you just look at Iowa, really, they got beat by 100 and now they're bouncing back, you know. I would say this. Northwestern is a very good young team, which means they have ups and they have downs. I love his big guys. I think he's done a great job. Nance and Young are two guys. I mean, Young's got 27 offensive rebounds, 10 games. I mean, that's more than anybody we got, I think. And they got a, you know, a lacrosse player. A lacrosse player who I guess either won the Heisman or was up for the Heisman of lacrosse. And I tell you what, the kid plays good, plays hard. They play hard. I know what good a coach Chris is. They're a very well-coached team. I think they're running their stuff. He's simplified it. I think he's done a hell of a job. And saying all that, where are we? You know, Doug Wojcik, one of my assistants, had a great line. He said, you know, you just got to appreciate we're trying to reinvent ourselves. Well, that sounds kind of, doesn't sound like a top five team statement, but reinventing because of who we lost, then reinventing because what we lost during the year, and then reinventing because of what we went through. And I think that's a good phrase for us right now. We are reinventing where we are. The last couple days of practice, today was one of our better practices. I think we're back to demanding what we need to demand, and I think they're back to accepting what is needed to be demanded. And I think we shot it a lot better in the last couple days. I'm not saying we're back to anything normal. I'd say we're making progress in this reinvention part of our career. Rocket continues to make some progress. It's been slow because we just don't want to do anything that would damage, meaning prolong, not damage, prolong him being out. So right now, it's big question mark for Wednesday. Let me see if I do like some coaches. He's out till the end of the year, but he may play Wednesday. that was for you. So I'd say he's doubtful for Wednesday, but I wouldn't rule anybody out. And then we have to make some big decisions after that. But he is making some progress. I've said it three times at three different press conferences, enjoyed, even today, his energy. He's just been a different guy. I think he sees things differently. And I never thought that would happen, but what a cool thing that it is happening. As I said about Northwestern, young team with Young and Nance, 6'10 forwards, balanced attack. They got four guys in double figures. The kid Spencer, I think Kopp, is one of the really good young players that can shoot it. He's got strength. He reminds me of a young Kispert, the kid from Gonzaga, 6'7", can do a lot of things, can make shots. But they're still finding their way, too. So they've had some big wins over Providence and Boston College. They probably had a loss or two they wish they got back. But all in all, you know, to try to be the first team to win on the road this year almost sounds like, why would you have that as one of your goals? Well, because we need something to happen. Is it a motivation thing? Anytime you're playing for conference supremacy, it's motivating. And I think for us, to try to do what not any other team has done so far and try to be on top of our league going into Christmas. And that's just one of the goals as things move forward. Questions?
Tom, two of them. First one being, I'm not suggesting this in the starting lineup or for 30 minutes, but have you thought with the wing issues and lack of depth, getting Frosty on the court with Cassius?
Mm-hmm. We have. Did a little bit today, in fact. We have thought about that. And some of it comes down to we've really run into a couple of things this year that have been different. Huge guards. A lot of guards, 6'4", 6'5". I mean, Oakland, 6'4", 6'5", at the guards. Sometimes real athletic guards. And sometimes, you know, it's been hard enough to keep Cassius, you know, focused in on one spot. Now, you move him a little bit, but I think that will happen. I think you'll see Frosty there some. I'm not ruling out Connor George playing a little more. He seems to give us some energy. He gives us some offensive rebound. He can shoot the ball. You know, we're not really grasping. I think like a lot of teams, if you really went back and looked at all the top 50 teams like I have, shooting is really down. You know, it just is down. And last night's games, I mean, you know, teams shoot 33%, 34%. People are excited. I don't know if it's the line. I don't know what it is. I don't know if defenses are getting better. That's for the analytic people to figure out, and I'm not one of those. But I do think we're going to look at a couple of things because maybe we can get more shooting in the game at times, which is good. But, you know, we're also trying to get our defense better, which is good too. Second question.
To see Steven in the reaction, the relationship he has with these players, how special is it, Tom, to share this first journey with Steven on your bench?
Well, you know, I don't like to talk about Steven a lot because sometimes he ticks me off, but it's been a, you know, it's been, I have to say, fun to be, to watch him go into a game late in the game and have players respond. I mean, if he would have hit that three, I think that was the happiest I've seen Cassius in a month and a half, you know, watching his reaction as the ball was going up on the bench. First of all, he ran into me almost, but second of all, just watching. That's cool. You know, that means a team. You got yourself a team. And I think that's what I'm trying to do now, too. You know, we've been fragmented a little bit by everything that everybody's gone through, where everybody's afraid to say certain things or do certain things, and I'm trying to remove the silos a little bit and get back to everybody under the same umbrella and maybe treated the same way and act in the same way and still be cognizant of the things we have to be. So Steven brought a little levity to that moment when I watched Cassius and his teammates and you know, now I got to live with his mother thinks he should be playing more because he got three rebounds. So I slept on a couch the last two nights, and he's probably the people that were ripping him on Twitter are probably praising him now. So, and I could have a little fun with Aaron Henry since Steven out rebounded him. So, other than that, everything's cool.
In terms of the shooting, can you kind of explain how the issues at the shooting from the two spot and the four spot then maybe correlate to life being more difficult on Cassius getting maybe the looks that you would want for him?
You know, yeah, I'd like to do that, but I'll tell you what, in the last game he took 9 threes and 8 of them I would have bet my bottom dollar on. You know, he's not shooting it as good. I mean, he was, you know, he's a 43% career three-point shooter. Career, and he's down to, I think, 33. But it's one of the few things I don't lose sleep over with him. There's no question if Josh is on one wing, it makes a difference. If somebody's hitting shots, it makes a difference. But I can't blame that on anybody else. I just have to look at it like, you know, a better question would be, when guys start missing shots, does it become an epidemic? And I think that'd be a better question because you're never feeling good about yourself. But we really addressed it last couple. We've had 3 practices since the Oakland game, and one of them was almost strictly with shooting and getting some time and talking about our passing. Good passes, as Judd used to say, equals good shots. Sometimes the passes are high or low or right or left. And that's one of the things, by the way, I thought Northwestern was one of the best passing teams I watched on film. So I thought we have to do a little bit better job passing the ball. But, you know, maybe early on, Cash had to take a few shots, shot clock, and that's understandable. But when he misses dead nut shots, you know, that, you know, again, it just in a little shooter slump. I mean, John Smoltz one time couldn't throw strikes, and you know, I'm sure that Mickey Mantle back in the day when I was growing up, you know, couldn't hit home runs. I mean, everybody goes through a little stretch. The one thing I would say too is you're seeing a lot of teams that started fast, that, you know, what we did and why you reinvent yourself and why, you know, every year you do, but why Christmas is so important usually is you play some tough teams, you find out where you are.
Yeah, you do. And this is a Michigan State men's basketball team that is trying to figure itself out. I think that's the biggest takeaway. When listening to those 11 or so minutes from Tom Izzo, you get the impression that he's got some question marks for his team. He is looking forward to seeing who steps up because they certainly need more players to step up in light of the fact that one of their starters in freshman Rocket Watts, he's still banged up. Rocket is learning how to see the game from a different perspective due to the fact that he has been hurt and he's been sitting on the bench next to Tom Izzo and looking at how a guard should assert himself in a D1 college basketball game. And I think that's invaluable. But right now, Michigan State is still trying to tweak some things. And again, you're playing competition like Oakland on Saturday. No, again, no slight to Greg Campy, but Michigan State and Tom Izzo has never lost to Oakland. And I think Michigan State should win tonight. I mean, you know, right now the Spartans have won 4 straight there and 10 of their last 11 games in Evanston. This will be their second true road game of the season. Remember, they won at Seton Hall. That was that 3-point win, that 76-73 win on November 14th. And, you know, that win does not look really strong right now for Michigan State when looking at how Seton Hall has played since that date. And then Michigan State beat Rutgers 6 days later at home, 77-65. So, you know, the big concerns for me, Connor, when watching this team is the shooting. That's number one for me. Michigan State right now is not shooting well from the perimeter. You know, now at 31%, you know, after 224 three-point attempts, that's not Michigan State-esque, especially when you evaluate Tom Izzo's teams in these past 5 years. They have had shooters. I mean, if you look at last year and what they are missing shooting-wise, you know, you had guys like a Matt McQuaid, like a Kenny Goins, who could come in and knock down the three ball. This year, it is hit or miss with this team. You know, you are sitting there, you know, chomping at your fingernails anytime Michigan State throws up a three-pointer because more times than not, that ball is not going to find the bottom of the net. And Michigan State, if you cannot shoot well from the perimeter, then you got to do the other thing well, and that's going to the rack and getting buckets down low, going to the free throw line, and not just getting to the free throw line, but making your free throws as well. This is a different Michigan State team. Now, I'm not sitting here on December 17th, not, you know, saying to myself, this team can't get better in the shooting department. I think they will get better. Just how much better, I don't know, because shooting is shooting. You don't miraculously become a great shooting team at the end of the season. You may get better, but what you see is what you get usually when you talk about whether or not you can shoot the basketball. So when it comes to Northwestern tonight, you know, we don't know much about this team. This team has been a roller coaster so far this season. You know, it's, you know, if you look at their schedule right now, they lost at home to Merrimack. And then they beat Providence. Then they lost to Radford. Then they lost to an okay Pitt team by double digits on a neutral court. And then they beat a bad Boston College team on the road, you know, winning by 18 points. So Northwestern's only other Big Ten game so far has been a fairly competitive loss at Purdue on December 8th. That was a 58-44 loss there. So, you know, there have been, you know, worse losses by other Big Ten teams right now. But, right, I think a name you'll hear a lot tonight will be Pete Nance, the 6'10 sophomore forward. He was suspended by the team for Sunday's win over SIU Edwardsville. I don't know why, but he did not play there. Well, he was suspended in that game there. Also, Nance is the son of longtime NBA standout Larry Nance. His older brother is Larry Nance Jr., who plays right now for the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers. So Pete Nance is expected back coming off this suspension. He's expected back tonight against Michigan State. And also freshman, it's either Roby or Robbie Barron, who is a 6'9" freshman who replaced Nance in the starting lineup. So we'll see if Barron and Nance can give Michigan State some problems tonight. Those are the two bigs that Tom Izzo was hinting toward during that snippet that you heard from his press conference just now. So let's hit our first break. Again, when we take your thoughts on Michigan State and Northwestern, what are your impressions of Michigan State basketball so far this season? You know, do you think this team was a bit overrated coming into the year looking at where they are now? Or do you think that the best is yet to come for Tom Izzo's Spartans? 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKARnews or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR News. I'm living in the Twilight Zone right now. Shout out to our current sports listeners out there. I think it was Ben who commented on our Facebook page and said, hey, today is Tuesday, Al. It's not Wednesday. Michigan State bar all night against Northwestern at 8 p.m. Thank you for that correction. And that's why I appreciate our listeners out there. You guys are smarter than me. All right. especially during times like this where I feel like I got so much going on right now. Can be a bit overwhelming and get my dates mixed up. Also, I want to pass this news along to you guys. It's in my notes. We may be off the air on Wednesday and Thursday. As you guys know, here at WKAR on 105.1 FM and AM 870, we have been bringing you coverage of the presidential impeachment hearings, and those will resume tomorrow and on Thursday, and that means that we may get bumped off the air. All right, so keep a close eye to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKARnews on official word of that, and if indeed we are off the air for Wednesday and Thursday. And also check out my Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, and I'll let you guys know if we indeed have a show these next 2 days. And, you know, it's going to be a you know, if we don't, my goodness, you know, Friday will probably be the last show before Christmas, as we will have best of shows running next week in light of the holiday. All right. So I just want to give you guys a heads up on that, just in case you tune in at 1 p.m. tomorrow and you say, Al, whoa, I don't hear his voice. He's not on the air. Well, now you know why. So, but again, well, it's more than likely that we won't be on the air. But again, for official word, follow us at facebook.com/WKARnews. All right. All right, Connor. I want to get your thoughts on the NFL today, because, you know, I can't believe that we are knocking on the door of the NFL playoffs right now. And there are just so many fun storylines out there. And I'm curious, you know, to compare thoughts on who we believe are the NFL's best teams right now. So I guess I'll start. I'll give you my top five. These are who I believe are the clear-cut, no debate about it, top five teams in the National Football League today. Numero uno, I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens. I don't think that's a surprise there. The Ravens are 12-2. you can pencil the Ravens in as the AFC's number one seed. And just look, can we just give the hardware to Lamar Jackson right now for NFL MVP? He is the NFL MVP. He made history as a runner in Thursday's dub over the Jets, breaking Michael Vick's single season NFL rushing yard record by a quarterback.
I mean, he's amazing. I mean, what can't this guy do? But he's surrounded by some really good pieces as well. I love how Mark Ingram is also playing this season, and he is Lamar's ultimate hype man. He is the Flavor Flav of the Baltimore Ravens right now. So, number one, I'm going with the Ravens. Number two, I'm going with the team you saw last night. The New Orleans Saints at 11-3. You know, Drew Brees and that performance against the Colts, that ensured that the Saints, unlike the 49ers, would not suffer a letdown after, you know, the team's 48-46 classic a week prior to. And Brees and that connection, that love connection that he has with Michael Thomas, wow, nobody has been able to stop that so far this season. Number three, Connor, I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks at 11-3. The Seahawks will finish the regular season 7-1 on the road after Sunday's win over the Carolina Panthers. They are 4-2 at home right now, and we'll see if they really want home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. It looks like they do, and Russell Wilson is playing out of his mind this season. Number four, I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs at 10-4. You know, the Chiefs, they had trouble getting all of their players, you know, to the game in time on Sunday in snowy KC. They had like they also had trouble getting all their equipment to the game in time against New England as well. But Patrick Mahomes, he's still Patrick Mahomes, even though he's going through some injury bug problems this season. And they are playing very well as the playoffs inch closer and closer. So the Chiefs are number four for me. Number five, I am going with the New England Patriots. A team that is dealing with a bit of, I don't even want to use the word scandal when talking about this whole filming the sideline situation with Cincinnati. I don't think it's a scandal. Look, they had a show. They filmed the sidelines. It does look bad when you are the Patriots. You really think that they were scouting? Do you think that they were really stealing plays, Connor, to face the absolutely horrible Cincinnati Bengals of all teams? You think Bill Belichick needs some inside information on the Bengals?
Let's look at the last time they got caught with Spygate. They were filming the Eric Mangini Jets. So don't tell me that Bill Belichick is above looking at these crap teams.
Stop it.
No.
Is he that stupid to get fooled twice here?
Listening to that audio, man, that Patriots guy sounds guilty as hell.
Stop it.
Come on.
I'm not buying it. I can't change your mind on this because some people are just looking at the Patriots as cheaters.
No. Here's the thing. The first Spygate, absolutely yes. But a lot of the other stuff, I'm like, okay, well, you know, saying that they kept cheating all this time, I don't know about that. But this is ridiculous. He is clearly filming the sideline, which raises another point. Why are you doing it against the Cincinnati Bengals?
Bill Belichick is smarter than that, Connor. He got caught the first time. You really think he's going to get caught with
Tanner
Jarvis? I think
he just got caught again.
Oh, no. Come on, man.
Come on, man. He's not going
to. Stop it, Connor.
No. He got caught again.
All right.
And the only reason why we're dismissing it is because it was the Bengals. But the last last Spygate, they were filming the Eric Mangini Jets. So come on now. The Patriots have proven they're not above spying on these garbage teams.
I'm not buying that garbage take, okay?
Nah.
All right. Your top five teams, who are they?
Top five, Ravens at number one, all reasons you listed out. Number two, the 49ers, and I'm a little iffy on this pick.
Even with the loss,
I'm a little iffy, but I still like what I'm seeing there. I think their defense is really good and is good enough to where, you know, they'll put Garoppolo in situations where he just has to not lose the game as opposed to going out there and winning them. That being said, the area of concern I get with the 49ers is when Garoppolo has to go out and win them a game, as we've seen this season, particularly against the Seahawks, couldn't close the door. Against the Falcons, couldn't close the door. Against the Ravens, couldn't close the door. That's my only area of concern with the 49ers, but I think they're still the best team in the NFC by a little bit. Then I have the Saints at three. Again, pretty well-rounded. It's incredible that Drew Brees is still at the top of his game at his age. I think if the Saints somehow get home field advantage in the playoff, yeah, that might be your Super Bowl contender out of the NFC. And then I've got the Seahawks at four. They're a little bit lower for me. I like what I'm seeing from Russell Wilson. I like what I'm seeing from the road record. My only area of concern is if they don't get home field advantage in the playoffs, I think that might play a role. I know 7-1 on the road, but playoffs is like is a different story. Number five, I've got the Chiefs. Again, my biggest concern with them is their defense. I thought their defense last year is better because they could at least get one stop a game. I'm not so certain that this Kansas City defense can get one stop a game. It's mostly on Mahomes to kind of, you know, win shootouts at
like
this
always.
Point.
Like always.
So
yep.
they're my five.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll let you go. I'll let you finish it out, and I'll give you my final five after
All right.
you finish it out. So
number six, the Packers. You know, I think that defense of getting better has really helped Aaron Rodgers out a lot. Again, kind of the similar situation of the 49ers is that defense is, you know, making those stops. It's putting him into position so where that Aaron doesn't have to do it all
no
to try
Patriots
to win.
Yet. No Patriots yet.
Now, so I got the Packers there. And, you know, again, they look like they'll get a home. It looks like they're going to get a home game in the playoffs. So that's good for them. When they go on the road, though, I'm not so sure because, again, their big outlier for me is the Chargers just beat the brakes off of them in L.A. So I'm a little concerned about if they go on the road. Number seven, I've got the Vikings. I think they're one of the hotter teams in football, and I think credit to Zimmer for completely changing the season around at the midway point, making some adjustments, and now you know we go from talking about Kirk Cousins as overpaid and a bust, and you know the worst starting quarter, and all sorts of fun hyperbole too. Oh wow, this is a team that could win a couple playoff games, and again they get the home field even one time.
Isn't it crazy? Because we were having a conversation like week four about Minnesota and their struggles and then Kirk Cousins being called out by Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and they light it, and then he loses one of his receivers and they start lighting it up and Rudolph gets involved. So
yeah, Rudolph called out Kirk and then mm-hmm. Kirk apologizes and then that following week and since that happened. He's been great.
It's been fine. And then the defense is stepping up. I mean, they're beating the brakes off of teams. Like, this is usually when you think of, like, the Vikings, you think of last year. Yeah, they're winning games, but they're kind of cruising. But this year, they're not holding back. I think about the Lions game like last week. I think of what they did to the Chargers recently. So I really like them. Number eight, I have the Patriots. You know, everyone was touting that defense. But a lot like the problems we saw with MSU over the last couple of years, you can't have the defense on the field all the time. That offense is awful.
Don't break down.
Tom Brady is aging. I won't say he's done, but he's aging rapidly this season. I think if the Patriots don't get home field advantage in the playoffs, they are in really big trouble because I don't think that defense can hold up. For four quarters against the Chiefs in the playoffs on the road, the Ravens in the playoffs on the road, and even some of these lesser teams that are coming up. And speaking of lesser teams in the AFC, my number nine is the Bills. I got them there too.
I got the Bills at number nine too.
The quarterback situation is their biggest area of concern because Josh Allen his decision making and accuracy aren't the best, but that defense, as they showed in primetime, is something to be afraid of. If the Bills can get in the playoffs, if they meet up with the Patriots or the Texans or one of the lower tier AFC teams, I like their chances. Just because that defense, if they can keep the total score like under 40 points mm-hmm. combined, it goes in their favor. And my 10th team is the Texans. My concern with them is their consistency. I'm not a fan of Bill O'Brien. I think he's part of the consistency issues that we keep seeing in Houston. I mean, to go and beat up the Patriots and then lay an egg against the Broncos, I just don't know what I'm going to get with the Texans this year.
Definitely. Did you mention the Patriots at all?
Oh, I did. Eight.
Eight. They're eight. Okay. You did have them at eight. Yeah, you did say that. Okay. I'm going with Packers six, 49ers seven, Vikings eight, nine Bills and 10 the Texans. So we're right on par with 9 and 10, and we, I think 6 through 8, I don't think we had the same picks there. So, it's interesting, though, watching, and there are still a lot of teams in contention here for the playoffs. A lot could happen with my Cowboys. I got them at 15 to look at my broad list here.
I have Dallas tied with Pittsburgh at 12 and teams that,
okay.
You know.
Oh, you're more kind than I am to my Cowboys.
I have the Titans actually above them. I think the Titans are a team that if they can get that wild card spot, they might be dangerous because I don't know what has happened with Ryan Tannehill, but all of a sudden he's a deep throwing, like making every play quarterback, and I really like that Titans offense.
Right.
But I have Dallas in like the same realm as like Pitt, Philadelphia, and the Rams of I don't know what I'm going to get from them.
You don't know.
Any given week.
Right.
And Dallas, especially of if it turns into a shootout where Dak has to be the guy,
no,
it's not going to happen.
It's not.
And
no,
Pittsburgh has like half a quarterback left. So,
Interesting list, man. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how the NFL year closes out here as a lot of teams are still technically in contention. Listen to our final break. We'll come back and put a brief bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have about 90 seconds left here in the hour. Getting some comments here. Hey, this comes from Mike. Hey, Al, could you post when Current Sports will be live over the holidays? Yes, I can certainly do that. Mike, again, for all of our holiday live shows, I'll be sure to give you guys a heads up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Mike also says the Patriots need all the help they can get. Al, I'm still not buying it, Connor. I still think this Patriots team, I've fallen for this before. I remember saying this, what year was that? Was that 2 years ago? When Tom started showing some age and everybody's debating that, he looks over the hill. And then what do they do? They go and win the dang Super Bowl. I won't believe that the Patriots aren't winning the Super Bowl.
They have no receivers.
I know they don't. It's just Julian Edelman. And if he's double teamed, it's like, where do you go? But I'm not buying it, man.
I'm not taking them.
They are still the Patriots. And also, I do want to pass along this, if you guys don't know this, but the NBA has announced that former Commissioner David Stern, he remains in serious condition after emergency surgery, last week Thursday to address a sudden brain hemorrhage. So we're thinking about you, David Stern, and hopefully you heal and get better, my friend. So, Connor, thanks so much, brother. Have a great rest of your day and be easy, people.